Well, forever, for posterity. Okay, here we go. We're in the Rambam, the laws of Bikurim, although it's not the laws of Bikurim, but Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Ches, chapter 11, Halacha 8. We're discussing the laws of Pidyon HaBein, redeeming first son.
This is the cash one.
So, Ches. Okay, Ches. We're okay, good here?
Yes, yes.
You know what, do this, take this. When Howard comes, you can look down. What page? No. The English page number, please. I know, but he can...
Yeah, I'll find it.
I guess where the napkin is. Because when he comes, he'll sit here and then he'll share.
Eight.
Okay. Let's say you've given the Kohen the five slime. Everything's fine. The Kohen now wants to just give it back to you. Machzir, he may give it back to you. Why? Because once you've given it to the Kohen as a gift, your son's been redeemed. Now, the Kohen, yes, chapter 11, number 8. Yeah. Chapter 10. Yeah, okay, sorry about that.
Chapter 11.
There we go. Okay, so because once you've given it to him, you've redeemed your son, so he could do what he wants with it. He could throw it in the garbage if he wants. He certainly can give it to you. However, here's a few interesting scenarios. What if the father gives it to the Kohen, but he really has in mind that he wants to get it back from the Kohen, even before he gives it, but he doesn't tell the Kohen his intentions? So the Rambam says, "Velo yitain lo hu," he shall not give, meaning the father shall not give, and before he's giving, vidaito, and his mindset is, even though it's unexpressed, that the Kohen should give it back to him. You notice he's giving it to him, counting on the fact that he's going to ask the Kohen to give it back to him. And if he knew he couldn't get it back from the Kohen, he wouldn't give it to him. Okay, you have to get it clear, because it's very subtle difference in this and next case. So you can't do that. Vimasa came, and what if he did it? And he somehow cajoled the Kohen to give it back to him. Vehexel, he gives it back to him. Even though he just said before, if he gives it to the Kohen, he gives it back. But here, when you gave it, you were intending to get it back. Ain beno padui. Your son is not redeemed. Why? Because since he had in mind the whole time when he gave it that he really didn't want the coin to have it, so there was something missing in the actual giving. Now that only so when the if the coin actually gives it back to him, but let's say he really tried to beg it back, but the coin didn't give it, then it's okay, because at the time when eventually the coin doesn't give it back, then it's his, so then he's redeemed. But here's an interesting one. So therefore, it only really works. Achi Yigmar believe he has to make up in his heart. The guy, if you could just share with this way, Ron can look on with you. All right? So now, so Achi Yigmar believe he has to make up in his heart, Litin Lobavatar Gmur, with a complete gift. Yes, I might give him. Now here's an interesting one, though. It's going to seem a bit counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. But what if Imrotza HaKoi... So now, if you give a complete intention, I want to give it to you, by all means have it, but if Imrotza HaKoi Nachagach Lassu, if Koi still wants to give it after, it's really repeating what he said in the first line, Yachso Koi can give it back. It's not a problem. When I gave it and I really wanted him to have it, he can give it back. Now here's the counterintuitive line. But what if the chenim perish? What if the owner explicitly, the father explicitly tells the coin, and he what? The nasan lo al manach lahachzer. I'm giving you this $5, a matana al manach lahachzer, on the condition that you'll give it back to me. Now, of course, when you say for sure shouldn't help, right? Says the Rambam, hare beno padui. His son is redeemed. Now, why? This you have to be careful, because he expressed it to the coin. That's the difference between the first case, where he's the second case, where he didn't express it. He says, I'm giving it to you completely. I want to give it to you. Now, we know the halacha is, for example, on Sukkos.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Lulav. You must own the lulav.
Yeah.
So if I give you the lulav with the intention I want to take it back, and it's only going to be good if you give it back to me, but it's still a gift for that moment in time.
It is.
It is a gift.
It is.
So the same thing over here. He wants to give it to him. But the gifting is a complete gifting. But the condition of the gifting is that you'll return it afterwards. So therefore, mitzad hadin, it would work. As opposed to the case before where he didn't tell the Kohen. So there, he never really intended to give it to the Kohen unless he knew that the Kohen was going to give it back to him. But he never told the Kohen that intention. So then we don't know. But here, since he said works. However, We knew that Shelley wouldn't like it. So the Gemara then says, but you're still not supposed to do it.
Right.
Because it looks almost like the same idea. Remember we said, well, the coin isn't allowed to help you do your threshing in the threshing floor for the truma, so that then you'll give him the truma. Mm-hmm. Right? So just like you're not allowed to do that, certainly you shouldn't be able to do this thing either. And therefore, and the Rambam had to mention this halacha, because Rambam doesn't mention this, although the Gemara does seem to say, it's the Gemara says that even though mitzvah din you can do it, the Gemara says so you shouldn't be done. The question is, why did the Rambam exclude it every year? So you have to say maybe he only holds that by truma. By truma, when you go to work in the threshing floors, you don't say this, but perhaps by pinyan ben differently. So it's not so pashut, this last halacha over here, if we go with the Rambam or not.
So two questions, quick.
Yeah.
If the coin, I mean, he's not going to do it, but if he doesn't give it back, is the kid still redeemed or not?
No.
Because there was no...
Because then he never gave it.
I'm only giving it to you that you give it back.
So there's no redemption.
So that would be really terrible, because you have to give another five.
Yeah.
He lost the money and he doesn't get the redemption.
Because it's only...
Yeah, double whammy.
What if I give you the little thing, because you give it back, you don't give it back to me?
So here's the
You're
other
not Yosef the Mitzvah.
If they're saying we shouldn't do it, then why do we do it with the lulav? He's saying we shouldn't
do it. No, we don't have a choice. God doesn't have a lulav. It's a little bit different. That we don't do because it looks like the coin's working to get his thing. That's unique to Truma. Yeah. But we want to let another Jew have the mitzvah. Yeah, like, what do you want? You. How else are we going to do it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I give it to you. You don't give it back to me? Then I don't get the mitzvah anymore.
No, but what's it with the shekels or whatever? The coin has it temporarily, and it has no use to him, really, temporarily. Right? Like, what good is it if you can't use it? You can't spend it.
Okay. So, good. Okay. Let's move on. Yeah. Tess. Kohanim Ulevim, now we've never really got to this explicitly yet. Kohanim Ulevim, okay. Even though, remember we said, the firstborn depends not on the father, depends on the mother, right? Yeah. But even though, still in all, and the woman is an Israelite, so to speak, even though she marries a Kohen Levi, Piturim Epinyan Aben, they do not have to redeem their children. And it is Mikal V'Chomer. We can learn that from an a fortiori argument. How is that? Let's go back to the original Levim. If you recall, after the sin of the golden calf, there were 22,237 firstborns who were no longer worthy to serve in the Beis HaMikdash as a firstborn. So what happened? We redeemed 22,000 of them. There were 22,000 Levim. So we just said, no, forget it. Vachar no longer works in the Beis HaMikdash. We transfer that privilege to the Levites. And then the other 237 needed five shekels to be given to redeem them. But what do we see? Pick up the Rambam now. So they said, this is the Kal V'Chomer. Im Patur Shel Yisrael, if a Levite was able to absolve the Yisrael. What? What?
That's exempt.
Exempt. Exempt. That's the word. Exempt the Yisrael by him taking his place, right? He took away the Kedusha from the Levi, takes the Kedusha of the Bechor, and it exempts him from the Bechor. So, but it happened in the Midbar. So, Din Hoshivra Asmo, certainly they should exempt themselves. Okay? If they're able to exempt others, they should be able to exempt themselves. Okay? And I guess, and Kohanim are called Levim. They learn drushes that it says, there's a pasuk that mentions Kohanim that are Levim, so they're in the same basket, as it were, and therefore they don't have to redeem themselves, their children. Okay, Yud. Yisrael haba min hakohenes umin halviya. A Yisrael who comes from a female Kohenite woman or a Levite woman, even though the husband is a Yisrael and his son is called an Israelite, still Potter is Potter, because we already have said, Shenadavar Toli Ba'av Elabeim, the real firstborn opening of the womb depends on the mother and not the father. Shnemer Pet Derechem B'Yisrael, the opening of the womb for the Yisrael. Okay. Yud Aleph, fairly simple halacha. Leviya hamu beres migoy. Oh, it's not so simple. It's not a simple one. The Levite girl, okay, woman, she gets pregnant from a goy. Okay, now, so we're supposed to do that. Bino Potter, her son does not have to be redeemed. Why? Listen carefully now. We go after the mother, right? She's a Levite, right? So it doesn't really make a difference for her if she got pregnant from a Jewish man.
Yeah.
Now, the kid's Jewish, right?
Yes.
And he's got Levite blood in him.
Yes, he does.
Right? So just like if she was married to a Yisrael, she would be potter. So married to Goy, it ain't going to make it any worse for her. Right? And that one makes sense. And it really has nothing to do with the Goy. The fact, you know, like, not no big deal. But if a Goy has a child, you know, Goy and a Goy, laying a man have a child, they certainly don't have to redeem their kid,
no,
right?
No, they don't have to.
So, I'm saying, so the fact the Goy man here doesn't really do anything because the woman female Levite is still a female Levite and carries the female Levite gene, and it goes into the son, even though he's not a Levite, but he's excused from it. Here's the real interesting halacha, though.
Oh.
What about the Kohenes Hamuberes Migoy?
Ooh.
Let's say a female Kohanite woman gets
That's
pregnant from
so.
A Goy. Now, Bino Chayev, her son, is obliged to redeem himself when he grows up.
Right.
Because at this point, now, of course, you're going to see in a minute why. And the reason is, Sharei Nifsala Imo Minakuno. Because what happens to the mother when she has relations with a non-Jew?
Awesome.
She loses her Kedusha. Right? That's that. She loses her kedusha, becomes known as a zoina, and she loses the kedushas kahuna, vibila sagoi, by being with the non-Jew, and which does not happen by a Levite female.
No.
When a Levite female, she doesn't lose it, but a male does.
A female
Kohen rather, yes. Does, and therefore. The fact is, she's not obliged to redeem him, because women are not obliged to redeem their kids. But the boy, when he grows up, has to redeem himself.
So why the kedusha? There's no kedusha for a Levite, so she
doesn't lose. She doesn't have that kind of kedusha that Kohanis was.
But
she has
another level or
something. No, that's what Gemara says. She doesn't lose it.
So she
doesn't lose it
to the Levites for
what?
They
have
when
she is with a goy, it's not such.
She
doesn't have that much to lose.
No, but I'm just saying that a Levi isn't a Yisrael normally, but here we're treating him like a Yisrael.
A Levi
woman.
What?
Well, the woman. If she is from a Levite family,
she's still remaining a Levite.
She's no different than
she remains.
No, treated the same as she was Yisrael.
No, she did Patra and Pidyon HaBen.
She's puttered up.
Patra and Pidyon HaBen.
The kid doesn't have to do Pidyon HaBen.
The kid does.
No.
Only the Kohen. Only the Kohen.
He's saying she doesn't lose her status.
She doesn't
lose
her status.
So that's the difference. There's a difference. That's what Gemara says. I can't tell you why. I guess since the Kohen has a higher level of Kedusha, the higher you are, the more you can lose, as it were. While the Levia doesn't have that much, as much. She doesn't lose it.
And a mamzer is probably even worse, right? Mamzer can't.
No. Mamzer would be okay. Mamzer could be redeemed.
A Levite woman.
If she was married, okay. Okay, let's not worry about that. Okay,
it's worse not to be married to a Kohen.
It doesn't matter. She remains a Levite. The kid's a kid of a Levite, and she's excused.
Yeah, and mamzer can't enter the covenant, though, right?
No,
the covenant.
No, he can't. He's a Jew. He just can't marry another regular Jew, but he's a Jew. So he doesn't have to be redeemed either.
In the first case, it was a regular Israelite woman that was impregnated.
It says
by a Goy.
She's the daughter of a Levi. Levia.
Right, I'm just saying.
Daughter of a Levi.
I'm changing it. If it was a regular Israelite woman,
she'd still be Chayiv.
The son would be chayav.
Yes, to redeem himself.
Himself.
That's what I said to Shel in the beginning. Why not? The goy doesn't have any. It doesn't affect anything. He's not in the game.
Okay.
Yud Beis. Kohen shenolad lo ben cholol. So let's have a Kohen who has relations with a woman that he's not supposed to have relations with. Let's say he marries a divorcee, let's say, right? So the law is his son becomes a cholo.
Whoa.
Okay? So now that he becomes a cholo, he's not, and therefore a cholo status is he's not a Levi, he's not a Kohen, he's a Yisroel.
Yeah, he's disqualified.
Okay, the Kohen who has relations with a woman that he's not allowed to have, his son gets demoted to being a Yisroel. So therefore, let's think about that for a minute.
That's a future son, right?
No,
the
son. He marries a divorcee, and they have a kid right now. That kid, forget about anything else. I'm not worried about it anymore. That kid is not a Kohen, period.
Or a Levite.
Not a Levite. He's a Yisrael. He's a Chol. He's nothing. Now, question. I'm saying in terms of a Kohen. In terms of being a Kohen. In terms of being a Kohen, he's nothing in the Kohen game.
Okay.
Okay, now, for a minute now, think for a minute. Uh-oh. Intrinsically, does this boy, intrinsically, you hear what I'm asking?
I hear
would he need to be redeemed? Intrinsically.
Well, his
yes.
Father.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, intrinsically.
His father's a Kohen.
You're not listening. You're not listening. All right.
Yes, he has.
The mother was a Yisrael.
So,
now, if the Cohen would have married a regular, nice Yisrael woman, then he's a Ben Cohen. Excused. Okay, but he's not considered a Ben Cohen anymore.
Right.
He's a Yisrael. So, if existentially that child would need to be redeemed.
Yes.
But it's not a problem. You know why? Because since it's a financial obligation, so the father can be the one to say, okay, I take the five out of one pocket and the other.
Right.
So it's not that the kid's excused from giving, but it's the giving is done without needing to give.
The because father doesn't lose his status. So why would he have to be redeemed?
You're not. Okay, Sam, just
it goes
hold
around
on.
In a circle.
You're gonna say, what's the difference? You'll see in a minute, the big difference. You'll see in a minute if the father dies before he has to be redeemed.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be when the difference is going to come.
No.
But
in other words,
the father's a Kohen, but the kid's a Yisrael. Kid's a Yisrael. He needs to be redeemed. But the fact that the father's a Kohen, so it's in one pocket, out the other. He doesn't have to even give it. It's like, remember we had the case
it's
where the Yisrael always gives. Yes. They always give to the guy.
Yeah.
Remember, and the
you don't have to give it.
You don't have to do it. So, he doesn't have to do anything because it's in one pocket, out the other. There's nothing to do.
It's an internal transfer.
Just keep going now. But now, he doesn't even say that. He just goes, I'm just speaking it out. Now let's just pick it up and continue. The case isn't over.
Right.
Now, Mesa of, now the father dies, the coin. Besoch Shloshimom, 30 days, within 30 days, and now it's too early to redeem. So now the question is, the kid grows up, does he have to redeem himself? Haben chayev liftos es aso. The kid has to redeem himself. Why? Because shelo zach avin. Because the father did not merit yet the pigeon. Now, meis achashim. But if the kid would die after 31 days,
the father would die after 31 days.
Then even though the father didn't do anything, but it's automatic.
It's like an automatic transfer.
He gets chayev. It's in the dad's pocket. The kid does not have to redeem himself. The kid already merited with the redemption. Since he's a Kohen, it's like he gives him himself. So therefore, it's what he has.
You don't have to pretend you're doing it.
Nothing has to be done.
I ask the question, how long does he have to live in the 30th day to make this?
We're going to talk about that and Yud Zion.
Okay, thank you.
Next. Now, the next thing is, this next halacha tells that everything depends at the time of birth. Hashifcha, a Canaanite maidservant, shinishtachra, that has been freed and is now a Jewess. Vinochris, and a female non-Jew, shiniskar, that converts. Now, when did all this happen? So, kishen mubaras, let's say they converted or were freed when they were pregnant. So when the child was conceived, it was conceived in non-Jewishness.
Right.
But, v'yoldu, and then the kid is born when they're free Jews or converted Jews. Afal pisha rasha shalom biktusha, even though the conception was without any kedusha. But what's the pasuk say? Peter rechem b'Yisrael, the first issue that opens up out of the womb of a Jewish woman. Hoil v'nolad biktusha, since the kid is born in holiness and he's the first one to go through her womb, chayiv, the kid is chayiv to redeem himself, obviously, because who else could redeem him? How did this woman get pregnant? Doesn't matter. Usually with a goy anyway, right?
What if there was a...
Okay, let's... Bottom? What if not? Okay, so I'm just saying... So the woman's got to redeem. The woman's never chayav to redeem.
Right. So if she had children as a non-Jew...
Then there's nothing to talk about. It's not her first womb when she was not Jewish. If a non-Jewish woman has a kid... Her womb has opened up. A woman only gets one shot at opening up her womb. You know, just like a bris. You get one shot at the bris. That's it. Once it's done. Once the womb's... doesn't matter. Her womb was opened once. That's it. A woman physiologically cannot open her womb twice. There's only one peter of the womb, of the
retina. Don't you say she's recreated?
No, no, no,
reborn
no,
again?
Not that way. Shenemar Peter Rechem B'Yisrael. It says the opening of the womb for Yisrael. For a Peter, and it was open for Rechem B'Yisrael. It's a Jewish Rechem.
Right, now, reborn, though.
It's not, that's not physically. It's not physically. She's not, she's not one day old. She isn't. She's a 50-year-old lady. She's 50 years old. It means born again, new spiritually from the fact of averos and things. But she's physically what she is. So she's not a basula either, my friend.
Oh, no?
No. In halacha, her ksuva does not treat her like a basula.
Oh,
see,
oh.
She's not that physically reborn, just spiritually reborn. So what if 1 minute, any ado? What if we don't know? This would be. I don't know how this could be. I figure how this can come out. If we don't know, im kodem shenisgariel, before she converted, she gave birth or not, or after she converted, she gave birth. I mean, conversion happens when she goes into the mikvah. What did they do? She did one of the, you know what she does now? The ladies, the younger generation now, the millennials, they give birth in the water. She went pregnant in the water. Right. She dipped her in, and then she and the baby comes out. And they don't know, did the baby come out before or in, whatever? Who knows?
It's a little messy, though.
It's a theoretical question more than a real question. Okay. So obviously the answer is Hamotzi Mechaver L'Rei. Let the coin prove it. Remember, it's only a financial obligation, not a kedusha issue, and therefore it's highly unlikely you'd ever have such a case. Yeah, what was your question?
The first is a C-section, and the second.
We're going to get to C-sections. We're not up to that. We're going to get to it. Be patient, please. Tezion. It's coming. Yud Dalet. Now, next. Hanochris v'hashifcha, a non-Jewish woman and a Canaanite slave woman. She yelled, they gave birth. Done. Goyish kid. No, he called him Antonio and ready to go on. She yelled, they go. Now, v'achakach, then afterwards, the skyru they converted. V'nishtach, where they were freed. And then v'yoldu v'latachar, then they have another kid. Harei zeh potter, that Jewish child does not need to be redeemed. Shenamer, because it's peterech. Well, wasn't obvious 5 minutes ago when Sam asked the question. Ve'in zeh peterechem. This is not called the peterechem, because her rechem was already petered already. Yeah.
Whoa.
So we don't peter it twice.
Her rechem was petered. Okay.
Now, here becomes an interesting question. And this a kohen has to always ask, even if it's our first kid is bechor, not always. What if a healthy child is born after a miscarriage? So it goes like this. So how miscarried must the baby be? So kol nefel, any miscarriage, she'imo tmele, where the mother would have the tumas leda. In other words, we'll see in a minute, that means there was at least 40 days since conception was the pregnancy. At that point, whatever she expels gives her tumas leda from birth and not tumas nida. If it's under 40 days, we just say it's a bunch of blood. Okay, even though it might have been a fetus, whatever, but less than 40 days, we just treat it like water. It's not anything. So therefore, if what she miscarried made her tummy, then that's considered a birth from a legal perspective, and that's called opening up her womb. So therefore, haboachav, any healthy child who comes after that, ena peterechem, did not open the womb because the womb got opened up. Right? So we equate a birth that gives tumas leda as enough of a birth to open up the womb. But any miscarriage that does not make the mother the tuma, kamo, for example, hamapelas, when she miscarries, can mean forms that look like dog and fish, grasshoppers. It doesn't look like a kid. You know, 25 days, just a clot. So clot looks like a red fish, whatever. It doesn't look like anything. Or hamapelas, even if she miscarries on the 40th day, ukiyetzim, or anything like that, you know. So it's simply called a discharge. It's not called an opening of the womb. So a bachor, then the next kid who comes out would be bechor lakoin, be considered a bechor to the coin, v'chayev litos, and would be obliged to redeem him because the miscarriage before was not considered a birth. Tesvav. Now, we get into more details, unfortunately, if you have such a bad, very bad miscarriage. What if chotach ha'uber b'me'eha? What if the embryo was cut up to pieces while it was inside the mother's stomach? V'hotzi eiver, and they have to bring it out piecemeal. All right? Habo achrav, whatever comes out of that, eino peterechem, it's not considered a peterechem, because that provides a tumas ledo. If you have to already chop up the kid, it's like a stillborn. They didn't, you know, it didn't come out by itself. So that is considered tumas ledo, and any other kid is not a peterechem. Now, the next case
Hang on a second. So this is an abortion, basically, also, right?
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
It's after 40
years. Doesn't matter. After 40
years. Abortion is after 40 years.
Listen, you don't have to. If you have to buy pieces, it's more than 40 days. Right? So that's whatever. Let's say she couldn't expel the baby and her life's in danger. They just go in there and rip it out and they cut it up piece by piece. Uh-huh. Right? They didn't have all the medications we have in these days.
So that's an opening of the womb.
Yes. Now, next case is in a case of twins with a number of multiple scenarios in a case of twins. Ben Shmona Chodashim, let's say the child that's going to come out, it's 8 months term. And in the days of the Gemara, it was considered a not viable child. In those days. Nowadays it is. But in those days.
Seven is, eight wasn't.
Of the Gemara, eight was not considered viable.
Seven was, and eight wasn't.
That's what the time of the Gemara. Anyway, so what happens?
Is there a reason for that?
I don't know. Anyway, so the 8 month kid, what does he do? Shahotzi Rosho, he sticks his head out.
Yeah.
And at the time he was alive. But then the Hechsiro, then he sticks himself back in. Vamase, and he dies. That's one scenario of the first kid, or a second scenario of the first kid. Vechen Ben Tisha, Shemesh, or a 9 month child, full term, but he comes out dead.
Stillborn.
Right? Vyatza Rosh's head comes out, but dead. Vechsiran comes back in. And then afterwards, Yotza Achiv, the second brother, comes out, the Yolda, and he comes out alive, and for some reason he makes it. So now the question is, does you have to give a Pidyon HaBen for the second kid?
Whoa.
So Zesha Yolda, the one who came out alive, Eina Petarechem, is not considered the one who opened up the womb. Why? Shrei Niftar, he was already excused as an opening of the wound, Barosh shall reach him with the head of the first one, and the first one, Sisi Nebuch, is dead. There's no chiyuv to give a pidyon haben for a dead child. How much of the head has to come out? Ukishetetse padachta, when the forehead comes out, poter aboachar, anything that comes out is considered poter. I imagine that's when the head comes out. If the feet come out, I guess maybe it's not considered an opening of the womb at all. I don't know. It seems that from the Rambam, it's just the forehead is that.
So if it's crowning, it's not okay. The whole forehead has to come out.
The forehead has to come out.
Yeah, so crowning wouldn't do it.
All right. Now we come to your cesarean, Tezain. Yeah, question, Shelley?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. The scenario, where's the one where Tamara has that? The kid sticks out his hand, they tie it
up. That wasn't the...
The hand comes out and goes back in.
So then the other one would have needed a pigeon. Well, wait a minute.
Just the hand.
It was Yehuda's.
But didn't they say that?
I understand. First of all, I'm sure they didn't have the mitzvah of pinyon haben then. For sure they didn't have pinyon haben. They couldn't have because the quantum the Bechor didn't lose their rights yet.
Right.
So they had no halacha, couldn't be a pidyon haben.
Reuven used to do the
even
sacrifices.
If they kept kol haTorah kula, they still couldn't do pidyon haben because there was no redeeming of the firstborn yet because the quantum, it wouldn't sin by the chet ha'egel. Even though it was Tamar's oldest kid. So theoretically, the one who came out, Peretz, who came out, would be the Bechor and would have needed a pidyon haben, theoretically. There's no coin to redeem him.
He's the one that came out after.
There's no coins yet in
Klal Yisrael. I'm just thinking about
it. If there were Shelley,
then it would have been high of a pidyon haben.
Okay.
Let's do one more. Yotzei Dofen, literally it means came out from the side, means a cesarean section. Okay, that's number one. Clearly, that was the first kid that was delivered. And then, the second kid later, a year or two later, was born naturally.
Sure.
Guess what? Neither of them need a pidyon haben for obvious reasons. Harishon, the first wife, he didn't go out of the womb. That's clear. He went out from the side. No chi of a peter stomach.
He came out of the womb, but he didn't come out of the birth chain.
Vashen, the second one, interestingly, even though he's the first one to go through the womb, peter rechem, but mitnei shekodem rechem, because the other brother came out first, so he's not a bechor.
Right.
You got to be a bechor who's a peter rechem. So he may be a bechor for something else.
He may be the first guy who blazed the trail.
But he's not the bechor for that. And he's not considered bechor, and you save yourself. So it comes out, the number of scenarios, very rare it's ever going to happen, this mitzvah. Number one, if either the man is a kohen or a levi, so that knocks out about 15% of all men. If the woman's the son of a daughter of a kohen or a levi, they'll knock out another 15%. And the first one's got to be a boy, that knocks out another 50%, because half and half is that. And then there can have been any miscarriages at all past 40 days, and that'll knock out about another 20%. And then you can't have that it was what? It couldn't be a cesarean. That's another whatever, 10, 15%. So it really is quite rare.
So how many people at this table right now are the courts?
And it knocks out all women.
You should
also ask at the CM.
I didn't have, wasn't for me, because I was a third child, wasn't for mayor. And from my children, the only one that my mayor didn't have, he had girls, Goldie.
Mordecai.
One second, let's go in order. Goldie. I have girls, three girls. So
Cyril,
first,
Cyril had boys.
Cyril had a pigeon of Ben.
Yes.
Had a pigeon
and
of Ben. Mordechai had a pigeon of Ben.
Yes.
Chaya had a pigeon of
yes,
Ben.
Yes. That's three. Rachel
didn't because she had a girl first. So three out of six. Not
okay.
bad. That
50%.
Was
50%.
It's better than the odds.
And the other ones was
so
just, was just girls.
Firstborn.
It was girls.
No,
and I'm
first. I got big
oh, I know. Morty didn't have. What are you talking about? Morty did not have because her father is
a coin.
Sorry. Tova's father's a coin.
That's right.
He's a Bas Kain.
He's been a coin for years.
So we only had two out of six. So you ready? See, two out of six. So that was interesting.
Okay. All right.